Good morning. All right, it's good to be here. Now, I don't know, is the kitchen crew in here? Are they all? Okay, so I had a request from them and from some others that I replay a video that we showed with my middle son and his cousin Anna. So we're going to play this again. Now, I'm setting those up that have already seen it for disappointment because it's not going to be nearly as funny as the first time you saw it. Let's just be prepared. So for those of you that weren't here, here's the situation. My parents, whom my kids call Mimi and Pawpaw, were headed from Branson, Missouri, back to their home in West Monroe, Louisiana, where I grew up. And they were taken there, ironically enough, now that I think about it, they were taken there so my wife and I could go interview in Pine Tree in Longview. So that's why they had them. And at a point during the trip, Cousin Anna decides she wants to sing some songs, but she is just about done with the day. And my middle son is never done with a day and never misses an opportunity to jab a little bit. And so this is what happened. By the way, by clapping, you're what we call reinforcing the wrong behavior. Someone asked me about if we'd done anything with the video, and truthfully, we did send this into America's Funniest Home Videos, and we signed all the paperwork for it, but they haven't done anything with it yet. So if you see it on TV, though, you'll say, hey, I saw it in Eugene. That was cool. We're just hoping for the $10,000, because goodness knows Carter's going to need all the money he can get to go to college, so he's not going to get scholarships. All right, so this weekend we have been talking about faith, specifically dealing with the chapter of Hebrews. So I thought I would review a little bit for those of you that weren't here the entire time of where we've been. We've kind of been dealing with the bottom line each session to kind of help us remember these things. So the first time that we visited was on Friday night. We said a person of faith is somebody that lives for the present because of the past. It doesn't have to be our past. It could be someone else's. But we remember these things, these stories that we've heard, and we can live for the present because of them. In fact, that's what the author of Hebrews did, is he bookend this little deal on faith with stories that they had and stories that other people had. So that's what we talked about the first time. Second session, we dealt with this idea of we've got to believe, if we are people of faith, we've got to believe in something greater than ourselves. We can't fix everything. We can't do everything. So there has to be some kind of dependency on someone else. Third session, we dealt with celebrating a win. We talked about how this list of heroes of faith in verses 3 through 40, I think it is, goes through and just says, here's a win, here's a win, here's a win. And these are stories that they were all familiar with. And we all have faith wins in our lives. And the key, I think, for being a great, faithful person is to remember those things and then to share those stories. And I just remembered I was flying there, so Amanda, I'm sorry, I'm going to slow down now, okay? I apologize. All right, so then on the next session, we said that a person lives through failure and then shares those stories. And this was the message that we gave last night, is that no matter how good it looks on the outside, in the inside, there's usually something going on that's different. We talked about how some people's Facebook status, and they'll update what they ate and what their kids are doing, and everything looks great, but yet behind the scenes, something's going on. And we talked that at our core, we are all valuable, and we are all loved because of who our Creator is. And so we live through the failures, and we share those stories so that people know that they don't have to be perfect when they go and approach Christ. And then Brian talked about during class that it's okay not to be okay, it's just not okay to stay that way. Now that's a phrase that I had heard from a guy named Perry Noble, and I loved it as he was sharing his story. And this idea of throwing off things that hinder us, realizing it's okay not to be okay, it's just not okay to stay that way. And I think if we can remember that it doesn't mean that we've got it, that we don't have it all together and that's all right, then it's important. And so that brings us to today as we continue to talk about faith. Open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. It's where we started out in class, if some of you have it. If you got it on your iPhones or whatever, your droids, pull those out. There may be some Bibles around you. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 through 6 and then have some thoughts. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He is scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have not forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. So we're going to focus just for a second on the first part of this, but let me kind of give you an update on a little hobby that I talked about with the kids earlier. So I love this thing called bushcraft, or some people call it woodcraft. It's kind of a European term. And basically, it's guys that like to go out in the woods and practice like survival skills and those kind of things. And I got into it several years ago after watching an episode of Survivor Man with Les Stroud. And so I just started getting into this stuff and started following guys on YouTube that taught along these lines. And here's what my problem is. My wife tells me this. When I get involved in a hobby, I kind of like I'm all or nothing. I'm going to go all out. And it's kind of crazy, not only for her, but for our budget. And so I might see something that Dave Canterbury or Les Stroud talked about on a TV show or a YouTube video, and immediately I was on Amazon trying to find that piece of gear. And so I would collect all this, right, the right clothes and the right knives and the right axes and all of this stuff. But if I collected all of that and never went into the woods and did anything with it, I'd just be pretending. I have a YouTube channel, and I had shot a YouTube video about some of the stuff that I had just because people were doing it and it was the cool thing to do. And I realized as I was going through my list that it was a list of everything everybody else I ever watched already told me to get. I'm like, well, I have this carabiner, and on this carabiner, I have these things, and I realized I got that from some other guy, and I just pulled all this stuff, and I said on the video, I said, I guess I'm just a bushcraft geek. I'm just a collector, because I didn't get out in the woods like these guys do, but yet, as weird as that sounds, I think as Christians, we do some of the same stuff. We collect the right clothes. We go to the right things. We watch the right videos, listen to the right sermons, but yet we don't take it outside of these walls, and so we're really just pretending to be Christian. So the question or the problem is, how do we make this faith that we've talked about all weekend something that's practical? So I started making a list of principles of real faith living, and some of these are from people that I've heard before, but I thought they were worth passing on. So the first principle of real faith living that I want to pass along is this: your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. I first heard this quote from Andy Stanley. In fact, he's got a book that kind of revolves around this whole principle called Principle of the Path. It's worth picking up if you get a chance. But here's the idea. If I pack all of my bags to go to Florida, I pack the right clothes. I get my swimsuit in there. I get sunglasses. I've got sunscreen, the beach towels, all the things, the flip-flops, everything I'm going to need to go to Florida. I load it in the car. And then I get in the car and I head north from here. Well, it doesn't matter. My intention was to go to Florida, but my direction is messed up. And I think there's none of us that intend to do some of the things we end up doing that lead to failure, but that was where our direction was headed. I've introduced you to several of my friends this weekend, and this is one of my other friends. In fact, the last one I'll mention to you during the time I'm with you. Her name is Holly. She's there with her daughter. She actually has an older son, but before I get to him, let me talk to you about her. She was in my youth group when I was in Cabot, Arkansas, and I first met her when she and her family had moved in. Her dad was Air Force, and he was stationed in Jacksonville just south of us, and they started attending. It was Mom's second marriage, and she had Holly from this marriage and another girl from this marriage and a boy. So she had three kids from this marriage, and then she had two children from a previous marriage. So it was a large family that kind of came into our group. Holly came into my group, and immediately I just loved this kid. I mean, she just had a power and an energy, and she was short and spunky, and she had a great attitude, and she loved to mess with me. Like one time she invited us, she said, "Let's go on base, and we'll take the whole youth group bowling." And I said, "That's awesome." Now, my dad was Air Force, but I was so young when he was in the Air Force that I don't remember anything, you know, and then we didn't live on base either. So we're going to the base, and I'm wanting to make sure that I've got everything perfect for bringing a group of 60 kids onto an Air Force base. So we get there, and they're like, "Okay, we pull up to the checkpoint," and they're taking the mirrors, and they're going up under the bus, and I'm just kind of nervous, and I'm like, "Holly, are we doing everything okay?" And she said, "Yes, but Brian, whatever you do, don't get a gutter ball when we're bowling." And I was like, "Holly, why? Why?" She said, "They'll shoot you." And I was smart enough to know that was a lie, but yet just a little bit curious if that was true, because Holly said it with such a straight face. We went on retreats together. We climbed mountains together. And as she got along in high school, her attitude started changing. I noticed there was some stuff different. Her mom ended up going through another divorce. She got remarried. Holly got involved in drugs. She got in and out of rehab. I'd go visit her in Memphis, and she would try to pull herself together. And then she would jump back into it. While she was high, during a period of pretty heavy drug use, she got pregnant, and she gave birth to a physically disabled and mentally challenged son, whom now her parents, her mom, and her stepdad, her third stepdad, are raising. His name is Cameron. Then, while she was still kind of in this deal, she got pregnant again and had this lovely young girl, who seems to be, for all practical purposes, fairly normal, but Holly has been just on a roller coaster. Now, I guarantee you, when she first came into our group, she wouldn't say, "My intention for my life is to be a drug addict, an alcoholic, have two children out of wedlock, and be messed up and not be able to get a job." I don't think that would have been her intention. But that's where her direction was. And if you doubt the power of the direction versus intention, just try going to someone on Valentine's Day and say, "I intended to get you something." Or on your anniversary, "I intended to take us on a trip," or for someone's birthday, or for your birthday, if your parents came in and said, "Yeah, I intended to do that cake thing, but it just didn't happen." No, intentions don't hold power. You don't get blessed because of intentions. You get blessed because of your direction. So the second thing that I want to mention comes from a guy named Reggie Joyner, Principle of Real Faith Living, and this is it: live with the end in mind. He tells a story about going and taking motorcycle driving lessons. His wife had gotten him some for his birthday or an anniversary or something, because he was going to get a motorcycle, and so he went. And in the parking lot where he was going to take these, they had these orange traffic cones set up, and the goal was to take the motorcycle and go in and out of these traffic cones. And he said he got through, and he's going on, it's his turn, and he goes through the first one. He makes the turn, and he's watching the second one. He clips it with the back tire, and then that got him off, so he swung way far out, and he tried to come back, and he hit the third one, and he said, "I couldn't get past the first cone." And the guy helping do the test, he said, "I don't want you to look at the cones. I want you to look at me at the end of the cones." And Reggie said, "Well, that's ridiculous. Why would I look at you? The cone's right here. It says, use your peripheral, focus on me at the end, and see what happens." He said, okay, it's your cones, you know. So he started off and he focused on this guy that was at the end of the line. And he said, lo and behold, I went through every one of them without a problem. It was like I was able to avoid the disasters because I kept focusing on the end. And I love how the Hebrews writer puts it, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Why? Because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. So much of our problems can be managed differently. I didn't say avoided. Can be managed differently if we just keep our eyes fixed on the end. But too many times we look down and we see the cone and we focus on just the cone. Where could we go as a church if we said from a leadership standpoint, here's where we're going? Then we're able to manage things differently. In the children's program that I'm involved in, we use a strategy called Orange. And I don't have time to go into the whole thing, but basically it's taking the yellow, which represents the light of the church, and the red, which represents the heart of the family, and it combines those two things. And so everything that we do is focused on that. And what I love about this strategy is that it helps us avoid a lot of the other things that come in. So we're all about small groups, and we're all about these five essentials of Orange. Once again, not going to go into them here. But when someone comes up to me and says, Brian, I've got this idea for our children's program. What about this? I can say, well, let's look if it fits within our small group leader model and one of the five essentials. And if it doesn't, then that's not where we're going. It's not that it's not a great idea. It just doesn't fit where we're trying to go. And as a church, I think we get so caught up sometimes in the little stuff of the cones before us, whether it's something as simple as carpet color, or, you know, I just talked to a guy at a Baptist church not too long ago, and they're almost going to have a church split because they're trying to change the carpet on the stage, and people can't agree on a color. And they're just like, that's not the end. The carpet's old. It needs to be changed. Let's change the carpet. But people are focused on the cones instead of focusing on the end. I spoke in Germany back in 2000, got to go over for this little retreat. It was really cool. The only time I've ever spoken overseas. And I met this couple that came. He was German military. She was American military. And they had met and started dating and eventually ended up getting married. But when they first came to the church there in Wiesbaden, they weren't married, but no one knew it. So they came in as a couple, introduced, became a vital part of that church and started going. And then during some discussion, one of the members found out that they were living together, but they weren't married yet. But they were just kind of checking this. They didn't have church background. They just were there. So they went to the preacher and they said, we can't have these people coming here because they aren't living like they should. We need to tell them until they get their lives right or separate or get married that they're not allowed here. And he said, why would we do that? That doesn't fit with what we're looking at the end. At the end, we're to make disciples. And so let's stop worrying right now about these cones. He didn't say that language. That's my analogy. But he said, let's stop looking at the cone that's in front of us, and let's start looking at the end. Where do we want these people to be? See, you don't have to be cleaned up to get to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus to get cleaned up. But so many times our focus is different. So imagining the end in mind. Then the third one, listening to the right voices. Now, this one is pretty huge. In fact, it's so huge, I thought I might use a little illustration, and if I could get some help with this, I thought it would be nice. Tim, would you mind coming up for a second? He didn't know I was going to do this, so I've just got a little exercise I'd like for us to do. I have a tray of mouse traps here. And No, it's good. It's good. If you could take off your shoes, please, that'd be awesome. I love it. You can tell he's a youth minister because he's like, yeah, I'll do it. All right. Oh, and just so, because I know some people are going to be like, yeah, for real, Brian. So I brought a pencil because I learned not to use my finger anymore. But the good news is, oh, it broke it. Look at that. Oh, that's incredible. That's awesome. You're crying. Okay. All right, so I'm trying to figure out how we can do this so everybody can see. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay these traps out, try not to, and I'm just going to put them in a random order, and then I'm just going to have you walk through them. Okay, it's real easy. It's not going to be a big deal. I'm not going to make this incredibly difficult for you. We'll give you plenty of space here. Yeah, no, see, it's real easy this way. Oh, that was close. Someone asked me earlier if I had ever accidentally snapped my finger on one of these, and I said only once, and then I wasn't allowed to speak there anymore. So I'm a little bit leery about this one. This one looks a little trigger happy. Okay, so Tim, just all I need you to do is to start here, and I don't want you to walk around it. I want you to walk through it, okay? Just real easy, just walk through it. Just don't step on any. I won't even put the big one out there. Eyes open, no problem, not a problem. Not a problem. Okay, very good. Everybody give him a big hand. He's coordinated. All right. So now what I thought we'd do is I thought that we would put this blindfold on. No, this is good for you. Okay, so we're going to do this where you can't see. Is anyone else as excited as I am that Tim's doing this? Okay, all right, so go ahead and do this. I'm going to put you up. He's just mixing them up. He's mixing them up, just so you don't know. It's not a problem. Okay, so I want you to come up here to the front while Terry rearranges these things for me, so you don't know. That's okay. It's all right. So now what we're going to do here is we're going to have him go through the same, well, almost the same, obstacle course, and I'm going to give him directions, okay? I'm going to visually tell him, put a foot here, put a foot here, may have him jump, may have him do some things. Now, you guys are free to respond if you think that he might be in trouble or whatever, but just to kind of help him and direct him, okay? It's going to be real easy. Right, Tim?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's shuddering. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to come over. I'm going to set you right at the front of this. Okay, let's back up just a little bit. Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, so all you got to do is listen to what directions I'm giving you. I'm not even going to touch you, okay? All right, so let me step over these. Okay, here we go. I want you to pick up your right foot, Tim, and I want you to step forward about 1 foot. Real easy. That one's not a tough. No. Pick it up. You have to pick up and then set it down, okay? All right. Yep. Boy, you need to use a ruler more often. Okay. He's like, I stepped a foot. Okay. Or maybe you just have tiny feet. That may be it. That may be our problem. All right. So next thing I want you to do is I'm going to need you to pick up your left foot, and I want you, you're going to have to kind of angle towards your left a little bit to get over. There's just one mouse trap that's like right by the edge of your right foot, so you don't want to hit that one. So pick the leg up, come over to your left just a little bit. Come on, Tim. It's not tough, I promise.
Okay.
All right. Left foot, that's this one over here.
Yeah.
And you're
and
yeah.
Go left.
Yeah, and you're gonna go left. Not too far, just but you gotta pick it up or you're gonna hit one. Okay. Oh yeah, that was close. That was real close. All right, so we're gonna try this a little bit different because I think our time is running out. Yeah, your hands are fine. Unless you're some kind of ape guy or something. Drag your knuckles. Yeah, back of your foot's fine. Okay, back of your foot's fine. Thank you for asking, though. All right, whoa, don't move the right one yet. Okay, so we're going to go the right one. Now, I think you can go over this one pretty good. So you remember the foot that you gave us before? Okay, quadruple that, all right?
Quadruple
that. So you're going to take a big step. This one's easy. They're small mouse traps. Okay, so right, don't touch me. Okay, so the right, say the right foot and go, let's say, 2 feet. Pick it up, though. Pick it up. Pick it. He's fine. Boy, they're really trying to get you. All right, leave the left one. Now, what we're going to do for this one, because I think we can get over a couple, I'm going to have you jump. Okay? Y'all think he can do it? Think he's got it? All right. So, Tim, basically what I want you to do is I'm going to give you, here, I'm going to step over this one. All right, can you feel that? All right, I want you to try to jump. You can hear me. I know they're miking. I want you to jump to where I am. Just jump. I'm going to move out of the way, though. Okay, so now you're gonna jump. Here's,
jump
yeah, just jump right here. Whoa! That was a tough one. All right, so we've only really got one more obstacle to go over, okay? So I'm gonna let you take your right foot, and really this one, actually, we're gonna do one more jump. You're gonna jump over. There's two mouse traps in front of you, and so we're just gonna jump over the last two to get out. The podium that you saw earlier is right here, okay? So if you can get past that podium, I would do this way. There you go.
You want me to jump that way?
Yeah, that way. All right, yeah, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Whoa. All right, and take off your blindfold. Everybody give him a big hand. Okay. That was good. Thank you for being a good sport. Okay. So here's the point of all of this thing. In the midst of the oohs and the ahs and whatever, it's a good illustration, I think, about what can happen when we listen to the wrong voices versus the right voices. Because I'm telling you that the people that you choose to put yourself in the midst of, going back to kind of Holly in that direction thing, are going to impact you so much. And if you're listening to those voices, it has a tendency to take you off just a little bit. And I don't know if you've ever kind of heard this whole idea of the compass direction, that you can just be off 1 degree from where you want to be. And initially, it's not going to be a problem. But further along down the path, after you've gone a few miles, that 1 degree becomes pretty significant in where you're trying to go. And so if we'll remember that taking this thing outside the walls, kind of like what Louis was saying earlier, is that if you say you've got this faith, but you've got no works with it, then it's not really faith, is it? I mean, faith is putting this thing into action. And so here are some principles of doing it, is watching where your direction is, not what you intend to do. You know, when I was in school, my full intention was to simply be a radio television major. That was it. That was my focus. I knew for 4 years I wanted to do that. And while it's very common in college for people to switch their majors, I saw a lot of my friends that came in that they didn't really have a direction at all. They were just trying to find themselves, and that's totally cool and understandable. But what ended up happening is this aimless wandering, because there was no direction, put them in some kind of weird situations financially and with their schooling and stuff, because they just didn't have a point of reference. Living with the end in mind, saying, where exactly is it that I want to be, and then listening to the right voices. Now, the bottom line for today is simply this. A person of faith pursues a life in line with the author of that faith. So as we look at our direction, is it in line with Jesus? When it talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus and running that race set before us, I think about, I was in track for a little bit, but it was by default. I played basketball, and I used that term really loosely, in junior high, right? Because you had to go and do a sport. And so there are pictures of me in a basketball uniform that you would be like, what? And so, because my mom took them, right? And so I hardly ever got in a game. And I remember one game in particular. We played in Ouachita High School. We were a little bitty, tiny, tiny high school. We went to play this 4A Ouachita High School. And they were, I promise you, this is junior high. I saw one of the players from the other team get in the car with his wife and kids and head home. He had a full beard in junior high. This is the team that we were playing. And so we get out there and we're playing, and there's just, we're this little scrawny team, and we're out there and they're killing us. So of course the coach says, Fuller, you go in, because there's no chance you can possibly make this worse than it is. So we're playing on their court, and I remember getting the ball at one point and thinking, I don't have but just a few opportunities to actually shoot a ball. So I shot a three-point shot. Now, when I say I shot a three-point shot, if they had had another line, I would have shot a six-point shot, because from where I chucked this ball, it was practically in the parking lot. I mean, I got it, and I just was like, boom! And I watched this ball sail over at Ouachita High School with grown men with beards watching, and this thing goes in the rim and goes, boom, and it comes out. And we're like, oh! And it was like the whole audience, the other side was going, oh! And then every time I went down the court, my number was 11 because I was a Danny White fan. And so they said, throw it to 11, like they were chanting, throw it to 11, throw it to 11. And the team kept passing me the ball and I kept throwing it back at them. I was like, I could never do that again. I didn't make it, but it'll never be that good. And so I would keep chucking it back and chucking it back. And I just remember thinking, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I was not meant for basketball. This wasn't my build. This wasn't my direction. This wasn't what I wanted to do. But I saw a lot of guys that said that's what exactly they want to do. So when you figure out a direction that you want to go, you have to watch where you're going, look at the end, and what voices are you surrounding yourself with. And then from a Christian standpoint, how does all of that line up with the author of our faith? It would be wrong for us if we didn't offer an invitation. And for those of you that are kind of new to church, this is basically what this is. It's an opportunity for us to be able to share with the church family some things that are on our hearts. It could be good things, could be praises that have happened during the week, those wins that we talked about and the stories that we want to share. It could also be something that we're really struggling with, that we just need the support and help of our brothers and sisters. Maybe you've been listening or talking to some people and you're thinking, you know what, this Christian thing, this sounds really good. I want to know more about it and study. Or maybe today I'm ready to put on Jesus in baptism. Whatever your need, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.